Greetings and welcome to Conversations with Doc Martin. This video series focuses on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Please do not forget to hit the subscribe button and click notifications so that you don't miss out on our next guest. Today, I'm super excited to invite my good friend, Randall Roper, to our little channel. Randall is one of the co-founders of Vakaya, the newest player in the LGBT plus travel landscape. And Randall is also Vakaya's CEO. So Randall, welcome to Conversations with Doc Martin.
Oh, Martin, it's so great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we've known each other for quite a number of years now. And when I was starting this idea around the channel, you literally were one of the first people I thought of for a multitude of reasons, which we're going to get into. And a little bit of a disclaimer, too, for our viewers out there, Randall and I actually recorded this a while back, and then so much changed in the last couple of months. I said, no, let's back up. Let's do this again, because there's so much fun stuff to talk about. So part of the reason why I wanted to have you join us today is I also wanted to get our viewers and the thousands of people that are booked on Vakaya, thinking about Vakaya, been on Vakaya, been on RSVP, been on Atlantis, to kind of get to know you a little bit better. And so what I'd love to do is kind of start out, and could you share with us kind of your background and kind of how you ended up getting to where you are today?
Sure. You know, it's a funny journey. It's an interesting journey because it's sort of taken so many twists and turns. I started off really in junior high and high school wanting to be an actor of all things. And of course, none of my parents were thrilled with that, but they were very supportive. And I went to college for musical theater. Mm-hmm. And then I moved out to Los Angeles. And I had no plans to go to LA. I thought I was going to go to New York and hit the old Broadway. But I got a cheap apartment of all the drivers to literally shift your life completely in a different direction. It was $320 a month in North Hollywood, California. I was like, you know what? Let's go out to LA and see what that's all about. And when I was out there, I actually got a job as a tour guide at Universal Studios. So I had my first gig in Hollywood was being a studio guide at Universal. And I absolutely loved it. And I went to my mentor there and basically said, hey, I'd like to be you one day. How can you help me make that happen? And it was really the single thing I asked for something. And it was the first time as an adult where I really sort of focused on something that I wanted personally and actually asked for it. And the doors began to open. And it was such a powerful life lesson for me that, you know, sometimes you just have to ask for the things you want. And I've successfully been doing that now for 20 plus years, ever since that first job. Oh my gosh, I said 20 plus years. Oh my gosh.
This year, it's more than that, my friend.
It's 30 years now. 1991, when I first started at Universal, late in 91. And it was the job that really sort of set the course of my entire life in great ways.
Absolutely.
After that, I got into travel, and I've been working in travel on and off since 2003. And that has been just probably the most rewarding profession I ever could have asked for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love what you said about asking, because I've never talked to you about this before, but you can see on my desk here, there's a little rock that says ask. I learned from one of my mentors way back in the day that it's the magic three-letter word, which is ask. And so so the question that comes to my mind is this: as a younger person, do you recall how you went through that mental thought process, or how do you recall that mental thought process? Because that's a pretty big deal as a younger person to say, I want to be you.
Yeah, you know, I'd always been, I'll say, ballsy. I'd always been willing to sort of put myself out there. But this was a big deal because it was a senior level executive at a movie studio in Hollywood, a place that I just recently moved to because I had a cheap apartment. So it was a big deal to make that first step. I can't say that I recall the entire thought process, but I knew that he was always filled with joy. And I wanted to be joyful. And I said, that's the career for me. Something that literally just fills myself and everyone that I interact with joy.
That's amazing.
So I remember that part of the equation of just like, I want to be filled with joy.
Absolutely.
Sure enough, it was. I worked at Universal for almost 17 years. Mm-hmm. And it was really genuinely the best job that I ever had. I worked with the most astounding, talented people, people that have gone on to win Academy Awards and Emmy Awards. I mean, it was really very, very fulfilling.
That's amazing. I love that. Seeking an opportunity and a livelihood that fills others with joy. And what a profound statement. I've never heard you quite describe it that way before. I love that. I think I may steal that because it's very simple, but by the same token, it's very profound, because the element that is so profound is the clarity that you had to kind of move forward and just bringing people joy. And I know, having traveled with you in various different ways over the years, you certainly do that. And so tell us a little bit of how Vakaya came about and what it even is for those individuals who might even be familiar.
Well, let's start with what it is, then I'll backtrack just a little bit. So Vakaya is actually the world's first and only large-scale vacation company that actually caters to the entire LGBTQIAPK community. Mm-hmm. For almost 50 years now, and I'll do a shout out to Olivia because they are celebrating their 48th year this year.
Yep.
It started there with all lesbian cruises and resort vacations. And then RSVP came about in 1985, 6 years later, Atlantis, and all of them do extraordinary work in their fields, right? Absolutely. However, they're focused on just one letter of our LGBT plus alphabet. And we really saw an opportunity, actually complete non sequitur, but it's worth chatting about. I don't know if you saw the recent polling of Gen Z, where they were asked if they identify with any of the LGBTQIAPK letters, and one out of six.
I did see that.
One out of six, which I thought was just astounding. It was so exciting because it really spoke to the direction that Vakaya is heading. And that is this much more inclusive, much wider doors, and welcoming to all who really believe love is love, no matter where you fall on that beautiful spectrum of identities, whether it's gender or sexuality. So for us, creating Vakaya was really about opening that door ever wider, right? It had been so targeted for so long, almost 50 years, a half a century. And here we were with an opportunity to really sort of just reset the bar and
rework
the playbook, if you will. So that's kind of a little bit about how Vakaya came to be. Mm-hmm. And all of us had a long, long storied history within the world of all gay or all lesbian travel. So it was exciting to sort of start rewriting the playbook with Vakaya.
Sure, absolutely. And the whole inclusivity element of Vakaya and Olivia and Atlantis, if you haven't been, speaking to our brothers and sisters, it's an experience that you can't even put into words.
Yeah.
And the freedom to truly express who you are, whatever that is something you literally can't put a price on. And
it's profound, right?
It's incredibly profound. It's incredibly profound. And so, go ahead, please.
Yeah, no, we've always been the minority for so long. And what makes these trips so special is for that week to 10 days or even 20 days for some of our trips, you get to be the majority. So you're no longer, you know, just sort of pushed off to the side. You get to hold your hand with your husband. And I live in Washington, D.C. We do that anyway. But I know that there are many, many places on earth where it's not possible. I mean, you're in Arizona. Even in Arizona, I would wonder, can I hold my husband's hand here? I'm not sure.
Absolutely. And certainly in the last couple of years, with the prior administration, we had seen hate crimes rise so dramatically. Right. And, you know, I had had quite a number of conversations with friends, and I know I had a conversation with my husband relative to, you know, here we were in a place where I thought we were improving. And now I feel like we're being pulled back, and honestly felt afraid to do that in almost any place. So nice to see that we're kind of moving forward again, shall we say.
Yes. So, I will say, here in DC, there is a palpable sense of relief.
That
everything is going back to normal. I was walking our puppies yesterday right by the White House, and all the fences and the walls and all of the the armaments that have been placed around the White House to keep people away are finally starting to come down. And it was just a sigh of relief.
Oh, absolutely.
Seeing it. And it was just really, really nice to be
absolutely. Honest. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about Vakaya's beginnings. And the reason for this kind of the reason for this part of the conversation was really one of the many reasons why I wanted to have you on here.
Yeah.
Because this was, I know, an apple in your business partner's eyes and your eyes. And it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of organization. It takes a lot of self-belief to make this kind of thing happen. And so, and then we'll get into the pandemic. That's next. But let's kind of start with how Vakaya started to come to be.
Sure. Well, I had worked with a gentleman by the name of John Finnan for years, who was the technical director on a lot of the different cruises and resort events that I had produced with other companies. And John just had this spark of imagination of like, you know, these trips are catering to such a small percentage of the population. And I don't want to generalize and say it's the circuit party 5% of the gay community, but to some degree that was, you know, somewhat true. So he had a vision that the other 95% of our community who had not ever had an option like Atlantis, RCP, or Olivia, he wanted to really just, like I said, throw those doors wide open and let everyone in our community have a place where they could come and be themselves, feel welcome, and have a great friggin' time with the entertainment, with the parties, with all of the extra social activities that we layer on. And from that perspective, like, it was hard not to want to jump on that bandwagon with John, because I could see the opportunity. And then we started folding in other people who also believed in the vision, and wham, bam, 2 years later, a year before the pandemic,
yes,
Vakaya launched.
Yes. So. And I have to say, from my own personal experience, having been on the inaugural cruise, which was beyond description, I don't think I have words for it. It was so incredible. The number of men and women that I talked to that had never been on a cruise before, or a gay cruise before, or both, that just couldn't believe what they were experiencing was incredibly humbling. And while at the same time, you had all these people like myself and my husband that had been on well over, I don't even know the number, a dozen or so trips, if not more, who were feeling like things were reinvented. And it was just such a very humbling thing to watch, to see the openness of the community, or the community being opened, if you will, to a different and deeper degree in August of 2019.
No question about that. And, you know, listen, it's tough. It is tough rewriting the rules, right? Because these are well established.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Been in place for decades. And, you know, even I'll give you a prime example. We had a couple of women who were sunbathing bare-breasted on the pool deck.
I remember that.
Really, it really didn't sit well with a few of our older male guests. And, you know, we had debates. We literally sat in a room for hours and debated as a company, but also with celebrity. And it was really celebrity that said, listen, you're trying to create this community where you're body positive, everybody and everybody is welcome. And, you know, it was one of my my colleagues on the celebrity side. She says, there are guys out there with bigger boobs than the ladies. Like, so it was a moment of clarity for all of us that, like, you know what, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And we're going to sort of embrace this. It's a progressive mindset. There's no question about it.
Sure.
But it's one where I think as a community, we all need to go.
Yeah.
But there's going to be, you know, it's going to happen in fits and starts, and it's going to happen with not everyone on board. And that is okay. We say that Vakaya is welcome, you know, is really built for everyone. But not everyone is built for Vakaya.
You
know, if you're not of the progressive mindset where you just appreciate people for who they are in their own skin, then really Vakaya isn't for you. There are other options out there in the community where you can just sort of isolate yourself off to exactly your tribe, and you don't ever have to interact with anyone else. Personally, I get bored with that, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, things got off with a bang. There was the inaugural cruise in August, then the first Mexico trip in October, which was equally amazing. And then we all know what happened.
Yeah.
And so talk to us a little bit about how Randall Roper ended up being able to use a travel term on purpose, navigate through even the beginnings of the pandemic. Cause all kidding aside, it's really not funny. I mean, no time in history has any of this happened. Your entire profession shut down. My entire profession shut down. I mean, dentistry was shut. I mean, when has that ever happened, right? So talk to us a little bit about those beginning days and months of the pandemic.
Yeah, well, let's start with the fact of what you just said, because I think it's worth considering for everyone. That is, we're all in this together, right? And I know that's a bit cliche, but to a certain degree, we've all been faced with numerous challenges, whether it's shutdown of a grocery store or a favorite restaurant or part of your business. Everyone has been affected, right? So there is a strange comfort in that, knowing that you're not alone. And that's really the story we try to tell. It's like, listen, we're all going to go down here if we don't work together. So let's figure out a way. It's not going to be easy or pretty, but let's figure out a way to move forward together. Right. And so very early on, I'll take you back to the exact day. I know it, March 13th, March 13th, 2020 was the day where everything shifted. Yep. Right. We went from, I mean, we had millions, and that's not an exaggeration, millions of dollars in sales the first 2 months of 2020. We had launched a couple of new trips and they were flying off the shelf. And on March 13th, everything stopped.
Yep.
There were no more bookings. Yeah, we would go weeks without selling a single trip. But in all fairness, we also didn't get a lot of cancellations during that time either. It was just sort of like, we call it the great pause of 2020.
I was just thinking that. We're all like,
it was 2 months. It was 2 months of just like, okay, what's going to happen? Yeah. And then we started to see what can only be described as an avalanche of cancellations, as people's fears. And, you know, I will put the blame squarely where it should be, which was on the last administration, just amping up the fear quotient, right? And we saw it happen. You know, it really started in April, where they started to really ratchet up the fear factor. And then we saw a direct response to that in the cancellations that we had. And it was just, we weren't taking any bookings and we were just processing week over week over week, hundreds of cancellations on our trips. And, you know, there's no other way to describe it. We panicked. Like, we had to, you know, everyone was panicking. We were like, how in the world are we going to survive this if it goes much longer than summer? You know, we had trips. We had one that was canceled. We had one that was postponed. We actually ended up doing a trip in October. After I can't even put a number on it, maybe 500 hours of meetings to figure out how to actually move forward operationally. But we did successfully. We pulled off an event after adapting to live, and that became our mantra as a company, adapt to live. It's just because if we don't adapt, we will not survive this.
So
we figured out what we needed to do. And one of the key pieces to that was we really started to sort of lift the veil of secrecy on how the entire LGBT charter cruise business works. And we did that through a series of blogs and meetings that we had with different people to sort of explain, hey, this is how it works.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as just purchasing a random cruise ship ticket on a random cruise in the middle of July. I felt really good about that, of just sort of opening up those secret vaults of information, if you will. And I think it helped just put everyone on the same page. So that was the starting point for us, was really to educate our guests so that they understood what we were dealing with on our side, what we could do and couldn't do on the consumer side.
Sure.
And I think that education is really what saved us, because by the time we started having multi-continent Zoom calls with our guests, people had the education, right? So we were all talking the same language. So I think that really, really helped.
Yeah, absolutely. And being on a lot of the social media groups and boards, particularly in the beginning, I remember there was a lot of debate between guests because, look, there was a lot of angst out there. And for some people, frankly, not many in reference to the whole, there was a lot of anger out there. And there were other guests that were completely unconnected to Bhakaya that were coming back and going, look, that's not the way the world works, folks. It's a charter, it's this, it's that. And so the majority, at least from my opinion, in the beginning, talking about, let's say, April through, let's say, June, July, the chatter within social media was very open and honest. And there were certain specific events or changes that happened. And I know me personally, and I'm just going to say this isn't, I'm not meaning this as a plug necessarily, although I certainly support the company. The way you all handled the cancellations was exemplary. I mean, we were booked on the Lisbon trip that got canceled. Right. The way that was handled was exemplary. We got to move our money to another trip. That ended up, you know, being a problem for us. So then we moved our money again. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
No one. And so I felt very, very taken care of by you and the Bhakaya team, which is another reason why I wanted to interview you, because I just feel so appreciative of everything you've done. Yeah. And then you all move forward.
Yeah.
And we all knew and know that this isn't going to last forever. We're still not out of it, of course. But as the months drug on, it became harder and harder and harder to do that. And as we sit here today on our release date of this video, you have 8 trips in the next couple of years. 8. And I was thinking about our interview today, of course, before we got on camera. And I thought to myself, I've got to ask him the question around mindset. Because how the heck do you go, mindset-wise, do you go from being a CEO of a company, having proportionally very little revenue coming in?
That's right.
And take the risk to put yourself out there to schedule what is now 8 trips. And we'll talk about the most recent one that got released and how it's literally, by the time this comes out, it might even be sold out.
100%. There's no question.
How the heck? I mean, literally, I mean, this is an all sincerity. How the heck did you do that mindset wise?
You know, listen, we started talking to our guests.
Yeah.
That's what it boiled down to. And we got this overwhelming sense that they were all just ready to break free.
Yeah.
We had 3 Bhakayans, myself, business partner Tracy Terrell, mm-hmm. and also one of our Bhakayans that works the events, Ronnie mm-hmm. Jones. We all participated in the Pfizer vaccine trial.
Yeah.
And people go, whoa, wow, you guys all did that. And yeah, we did, because we couldn't just sit on the sidelines.
Yes.
We had to get in the game. We had to figure out a way that we could help get society, humankind, to the mm-hmm. finish line faster.
Yeah.
So we all volunteered. Tracy started, he got me in, I helped Ronnie get in, and we all ended up in the Pfizer vaccine trial. And frankly, surprisingly, all ended up with the vaccine. So we've all been vaccinated since thank goodness, and not with the placebo. But it's just like, that was the first step for us of like, okay, how do we move to the finish line faster? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's how we personally, individually did it. But as a company, we talked to our guest, and our guest told us, listen, we have been sitting in our houses for 6, 8, 12 months now. We are ready to go. Take us to someplace new, take us someplace fun. And so that really was the driver for us. It started with those conversations, right? Mm-hmm. And then Patrick and I, who ultimately make the decisions on which my partner, Patrick Gunn, mm-hmm. and I make the decisions on where we're going to go, we just started talking about our own personal bucket list.
Sure. And like,
okay, where do we want to go? And you know, we've all traveled so much. I've been to all 7 continents, 123 mm-hmm. countries. So for me, it's like, if I have a chance to get to a new country, you better believe I'm going to take it.
Sure.
And you mentioned the cruise that we just released. It's to the Seychelles, which a lot of people don't even know about. So we had to educate people, you know, where are the Seychelles? Oh, by the way, they're off the eastern coast of Africa, in the Indian Ocean, just south of the equator. So it's a beautiful, beautiful destination in the Indian Ocean. We launched that cruise, but we launched it with sort of educational pieces that went along, because we had to teach people about
the destination. Absolutely.
So it went from being unknown to being a definite bucket list destination for many of the people. And we literally, at the taping of this interview, we have 7 rooms left after 6
Oh my goodness.
sale. So it's pretty thrilling. So to say it's going to be sold out by the time this airs in a few weeks, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But that trip follows our Antarctica cruise that we released in January, which sold out in 10 days. So it's just, you know, we are now on a great path where people are ready to get out there into the world again. We've got 4 trips in 2021, 4 trips in 2022. We're adding another couple in 2022. Mm-hmm. But it really is because the demand to go somewhere, to go anywhere at this point is so high.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we just, you know, we took some risks. It's hard to say if it's going to pan out. I think it will. Mm-hmm. But like this June, we're doing our P-Town Summer Jamboree. Yep. We've taken over several of Provincetown's most iconic inns. And we did that, I'll be honest with you. We did that and rolled those dice because we thought the Trump administration had a plan for the vaccination distribution. Come to find out, there was no plan.
Yeah, there was no
plan. So we're probably a month too early on that trip. But we're going to make the best of it regardless. You know, yes, there might be some masks and social distancing protocols in place for it. But I mean, I think we're all so used to it now.
Absolutely.
It barely registers, right? But then we're off to the races come September with our Iceland cruise. We're doing the very first circumnavigation of Iceland. Then we have another Mexican resort. Then we have a New Orleans River cruise, all things that have just never, ever been done before. So for us, it really was just, all right, we've got to get back on that horse. As beaten as that poor little horse is after this past year,
we've got to
make some bold moves. And I think with the trips we are doing from Iceland to New Orleans to the Seychelles to Antarctica to Costa Rica, things that have never been done before for the LGBT plus community, you know, everyone has embraced them unbelievably. So I think people just get tired of doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just want a new adventure. And that's
absolutely. Well, you know, and of course we'll put all the information in the comments below for people that are looking to find out a little bit more about these trips.
Sure.
And
sure.
You actually said something. We were chatting a couple of weeks ago and you made a comment that didn't even occur to me, which is the whole how we all know the phrase history repeats itself. And you were making the comment about the Roaring Twenties coming off of the time in history of the Spanish flu and so forth. And I never quite connected the dots myself.
Yeah.
While, I don't know if you remember this, way, way, way back in the beginnings of the pandemic, I think when you, Michael and I were talking about the Lisbon cruise, I made a comment. I'm like, yeah, everybody keeps saying it's going to take so long for travel to come back. And even back then I was thinking to myself, no, it's not.
No way.
First of all, people have a very limited memory, in my humble opinion. And number two, it would even at the time, I was thinking to myself, it's all going to be contingent on how long we're all cooped up. And so we've all been cooped up a heck of a lot longer than anybody anticipated. And so now it's like the floodgates are opening up and there we go. So
I mean, it certainly has made Vakaya's future incredibly bright. I don't want to be overly hyperbolic and say thriving, because we're still dealing with all of the realities of the pandemic. But man, oh man, we are on the doorstep
of
genuinely thriving.
Absolutely.
And that's over all 8 trips.
Yeah. So as
we continue to sell, it just gets better and better. The news, both on the pandemic front and the business front, every day is ginormous ray of sunshine
absolutely
on all of us. So it's really nice, to be honest with you. After a year of sleepless nights, it's nice to finally go to sleep at peace and knowing that we are getting close to the finish.
Absolutely. So what I heard as a theme from what you just said is that you really had a belief in what Vakaya does. You had a belief in humanity wanting to explore the world. And that's kind of where your mindset was to bring yourself and the company kind of through this without getting stuck in all the noise.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that I'd love to kind of ask you relative to this concept, because one of the things I typically always talk about is this, you know, the future is fantasy land. And the positive stuff that we think about, could think about, is just as valid as the negative stuff that we fill our head with. Why? Because neither's happened yet. And so we can make a choice of which to focus on. And you made the choice to focus on the positive future rather than kind of pulling your heels in, pun intended, to not move forward with giving the community options to move forward. And so, you know, if you were kind of speaking to a younger person that is looking to start a business or looking to that next step, or if you put yourself back in your shoes a number of years ago, you know, walking up to that senior executive at Universal, you know, what kind of advice would you give a younger person in their business and life journey about how to move forward?
That's a really great question. And you know what? I don't know if you saw her show on the P-Town Cruise back in 2019, but it was the final night, Leslie Margarita.
Oh yeah.
See that show? Uh-huh. I tell you, we had such great entertainment on that trip, but her show resonated with me probably more than any other mm-hmm. because she taught a very valuable lesson mm-hmm. in the show. And it was about eliminating the path poopers in yep. your life. The
yep.
people who either intentionally or accidentally in some cases poop on your path, right? Mm-hmm. and they block you from moving forward. I thought it was such a funny and simple way to look at things, but it was a profoundly deep lesson because mm-hmm. you have to have people in your life that shine light on your path. You have yeah. to have people in your life that help clear the path when the brush gets really thin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't put people in your life, or you can't maintain relationships with people in your life who are constantly pooping on your path.
100%.
So I'm going to give Leslie Margarita full credit for that. Although I've always known that inside, I'd never been able to really illustrate it in such an effective way as mm-hmm. she did.
Sure.
So call out to you, Leslie. So it's great advice. And I think no matter your age, I think it's a vitally important thing to remember that you have to put people in your life who shine light.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And anything else is just a distraction, and it's going to pull you away from whatever your life goals or objectives are.
Absolutely. I think that's profound advice that, you know, don't hang out with people who poop on your path. I'm repeating it and I love it. Yeah, and, right. and I would even extend, don't allow yourself to poop on your own darn path either.
Well, and don't poop on other people's paths
yes.
either. Like make yourself yes. a non-path pooper.
I think we're onto something here, like maybe t-shirts or something. I don't know.
Right.
But no, I think that's truly fantastic advice. And so I really want to thank you for your time and sharing some of your weekend as we record this with me and with the audience. And any other final thoughts before we call it a day here to the good folks?
You know, I will go back to our original conversation because you asked me an interesting question. If I had a mantra to put my mind at ease at times of trouble, and I didn't. And I really thought long and hard mm-hmm. about that. And it's funny because almost concurrently at the same time, someone in our office, you know her, Johanna Piscata, uh-huh. she asked the best question I think I've ever been asked in my entire career. Mm-hmm. And she says, okay, this month, what type of badassery are we going to get up to?
Nice.
Oh my gosh, I love this That's question.
Awesome. That's awesome.
And it all tied into intentions and goals, and not so much task-oriented goals, because those I've done my entire life. My dad was a great teacher in sort mm-hmm. of setting goals and working toward those. But it was about how you wanted to feel when you achieved the
yes.
goal. That was something I'd never really thought of. Like, what does your heart say about
that
head achievement, right? So she really, at the same time that you had challenged me with the mantra, she kind of came at us as well, all of the Vikaians, with mm-hmm. how we define our intentions. So as a company, every month we've started laying out our intentions
That's
and
awesome.
Talking about them with our colleagues so that we can each help each other to better achieve those objectives. And mine, my little mantra is stop, listen, respond.
Love it.
My brain has a tendency to be 10 steps ahead of whatever conversation I'm in.
Sure.
So I already know where the finish line is going to be 9 out of 10 times. And that gets me in trouble all the time because I just don't shut up. in this case, I'm really taking a very hard line and pushing myself to stop, just stop, be quiet, listen, then respond. And I will tell you, it's really helped me, even though I've interrupted you a couple of times. And I
have No. I think that's fantastic. I really like that. I think if we all could embrace that to a deeper degree, the world would be a bit better of a place, particularly in social media. You know, there are all these flame wars that people get into like constantly. And it's majoritively because, you know, that method of communication, we could talk about this for an hour, but that method of communication is so one-sided and it doesn't have the depth and breadth of even an audio conversation. And right. So we all keep just spewing without taking the time to listen. Yeah. And it creates a lot of angst in the world. So if we could all stop, listen, and then respond, yeah, I think the world would be a better place. So
agreed.
Fantastic. Love it. Fantastic way to end our little chit chat this afternoon. So thank you so very much for joining me, Randall.
Always a pleasure, Martin.
Absolutely. And of course, I want to remind everybody, if you like what you saw, please go ahead. Don't forget to subscribe and click the notifications. And lastly, remember that life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. Take care. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.